I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 24th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Got a really packed show today, folks. Not going to take any phone calls today, and you'll know why. I've got an article that I'm going to read, and it's going to take some time. It's a very well-written, well-researched article by the gentleman named Ryan Dawson. Ryan lives in Japan. He will be listening today. I've been in contact with him. I am going to have him up on my show. He has a website, www.anti-neocons.com. I would strongly urge you to go in there. Now, I'm going to do this as kind of a, no, not my epitaph, but I want to put it on the archives because I'll tell you what, this article is probably the closest thing, save another real investigation of 9/11, that we're ever going to come to the truth. It's called 9/11, Iraq, PNAC, All Roads Lead to Israel. Now, before I get into that, I want to mention to you my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. There's a couple of new videos that I've posted up there. One of them is from Naomi Wolf called The Fascist Blueprint. I would advise all of you to go in there and watch. It's about 48 minutes long, but it's going to tell you, it's going to give you the comparisons between now and Nazi Germany back in 33. Also, there's another video that I posted, just posted it this morning, from We Are Change, and that is the confrontation of Norm Podhaeretz at the Barnes & Noble bookstore, and it's really interesting. It's about 10 minutes long, folks, and I'm telling you the public is waking up, and they really got on this case to the point where he actually got mad and left. There's a lot of heat coming down. You know, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, then you win. Well, we're in the fighting stage, and Glenn Beck and Bill Maher have come out, and they're just absolutely ridiculing the 9/11 movement. They are they're calling us they're equating us to Timothy McVeigh types. They're calling us anarchists. And for those of you who are my old listeners, you know I don't spend a lot of time on 9/11, but I want to put this one down for the record in the archives. And once it's done, I want to ask all of you to call your friends, neighbors, relatives, everybody that you know, and have them listen to the archives, because this pretty much puts it all together, folks. I want to give a quick plug out. I went out to dinner last night at Julia's Restaurant on Bell Road, right around, about 100, 103rd Avenue or so forth. It's in a Safeway shopping center buried back in the back. And Doreen, I want to thank you for that lovely dinner, along with my waitress, Jen. Lindsay was there with me. Her husband is a New York chef. Outstanding meal, priced very, very well. I was absolutely astounded. For anybody that's in Sun City, I would strongly advise you to go into Julia's Restaurant, and have a meal. You would not regret it, folks. Before I get into this, I want to read a couple of quotes out of the Bible, okay? Just for clarification, Revelations 2:9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I'll be back after the break. I've got one more quote to read, then I'm going to get into this. And by the way, Ryan Dawson is listening today. I hope I do this article justice for you, Ryan Dawson. We'll be back in three. Stick with us.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit healingformula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit healingformula.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that one goal of international communism was to get our young people's mind off religion by getting them onto sex? By destroying the morals of the younger generation, America would eventually become ripe for revolution without understanding why communism wanted to make young people soft and easily controlled. Have we witnessed this transformation of our young people away from God and the Bible to immorality? We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
We're back. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And two things before I get into this article. I read to you Revelation 2:9. I also want to allude to 3:9. Behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I want to put this down for the record because this is depicted in the Bible, folks. Also, as I read, when I finish reading this article, I want to make an announcement that Ryan Dawson had emailed me. There is going to be another groundbreaking update. I believe that Ryan's going to pop up and talk to us a little bit when I complete this tomorrow. But also, if everything goes well, he lives in Japan. I want to have him up for a full show Tuesday to talk about this. And don't forget, I've got Phil Turney coming on Monday, survivor of the USS Liberty, which ties right in with this, folks. This has been going on for a long time. So let's get started. Remember, no phone calls today, okay? I want you to just listen. Once this is archived, I want you to tell all your friends, neighbors, and relatives to go in and listen to the archive of these 2 days, specifically because it ties so many things in. I give accolades to Ryan Dawson. So here we go. 9/11, Iraq, PNAC, all roads lead to Israel. What really happened on 9/11? Over 82% of Americans, according to polls conducted by CNN, believe that the official story of 9/11 is false and that the government is part of a cover-up. There seems to be four main 9/11 theories. One form, the mainstream press and the 9/11 Commission and others from researchers who bothered to look at things like physical evidence, the paper trail, and the money trail. I have a fifth theory. which unifies the war in Iraq with the cabal that planned 9/11. The four theories briefly go as follows. Some, 9/11 was an inside job camps, like to lay out four scenarios. Briefly, they go as follows. One, it's the official story. We got caught with our pants down and terrorists did 9/11. And the wars in the Middle East are part of a greater war on terrorism. Number two, the incompetence excuse. There was information available about the coming attacks, but because of our incompetence, we failed to see it. Terrorists attacked the U.S., and the wars in the Middle East were based on mistakes, more incompetence. But now, we got to stay. Number three, they let it happen. They knew full well about the coming 9/11 attacks, but allowed it to happen in order to use it as a pretext to go to war with Iraq and Afghanistan, as it was in military and corporate interests, particularly oil, to do so. Number four, they made it happen. They, meaning just vaguely the Bush administration, the Bush government either helped protect the terrorists or simply used them as patsies and assisted the plane crash's effects with bombs placed inside the towers prior to 9/11. The wars in the Middle East were about oil. The 9/11 was an inside job camps. Then say the evidence must land you somewhere between 3 and 4, with more research dropping you firmly on number 4. Well, let me now throw in the fifth scenario. The neocons made it happen with the assistance of a foreign government, the same government where PNAC's papers were first written, and the same foreign nation who we have caught spies from, who have been stealing secrets from the United States about Iran, and who made up the shadow government of the OSP, which is to cherry-pick and fabricated the lies told about Iraq in order to start that war. The wars in the Middle East were for separate reasons. Afghanistan was about a few pipelines, as noted, but more so about controlling large quantities of untapped uranium, a reason for both Russian and U.S. invasions. And secondly, for controlling opium, as the CIA uses drug money to fund its off-the-books black operations, such as the now-known massive secret prison systems, torture camps, and human medical scientific testing. Location-wise, Afghanistan is coupled with other color-coded revolutions to circle China and Russia with U.S. bases and puppets. Add to that the lesser-known negotiations with Japan to allow nuclear subs into the Japanese Sea, pointed at China, in exchange for moving troops from Okinawa to Guam. The main goal, however, which the PNAC think tank states, is to keep the eye on the pie. Iran, which Afghanistan and Iraq both border. The invasion of Iraq was to solve Israel's oil crisis and stop the threat of secular Middle East, which would become a true economic player and was a threat to the aggressive state of Israel. The evidence of it was all along being stated, especially pertaining to the war in Iraq, would land you in scenario five. 9/11 was the Mossad, but that it is not run by Israeli intelligence agency per se, it is a terrorist agency for the military-industrial complex, which feeds off the hatred of the bigots and useful idiots concentrated in Israel. Both U.S. and Israel are not really different countries in a way. The U.S. and Israeli agencies and their neocon governments work for their own interests, and those interests are guided by a racist political ideology mixed up with a fascist version of a religion and Strassian philosophy. There is a total disconnect between the people of America, the sane ones, and the government. U.S. foreign policy works for the Likud Israeli interests first, second, and third. This is because the Zionists and MIC have overlapping, that's military-industrial contracts, by the way, have overlapping financial interests. But most of all, the press is Zionist. There is no war greater right now than the information war. Nothing would fix things faster than taking back the media or totally discrediting the corrupt, lying, fear-mongering war cheerleaders as we have now. A lot of people have written about and shown the problems with the official 9/11 story. There's the demolition of Building 7, which the 9/11 Commission did not even address. There are firemen's reports that the fires were almost out. There are numerous reports of secondary explosions, etc., but because it has been said on radio and more so because people have made films about it, many people can recite the arguments for the inside job in their sleep. Fire burns buildings. It does not burn on the top of one for an hour or so, then blow up in a matter of 10 seconds, completely destroying everything, including the foundations, and leaving molten steel in the basements weeks after the event. It is physically impossible. But what has been hidden from you, and the dots which have not been connected on any 9/11 films, is the Israeli connection. 9/11 has been hit with heavy disinformation. This tactic worked well for Area 51, a secretive base that was wasting trillions of dollars. Because of the disinformation, a lot of idiots, if anyone said that anything about Area 51, it was unfairly linked to everything from space creatures to crop circles. Currently, the 9/11 truth, there is disinfo spanning from Bavarian death cults to Black Pope to lasers from outer space. Do not associate any of that nonsense to what I am saying. 9/11 was an inside job, which was part of a larger plan for perpetual war hatched in Israel. And understand that Israel is not a Jewish people. Okay, please get that through your heads. Israel is a violent nation that engages in false flag operations routinely and serves the interests of the MIC, not any particular ethnicity. 9/11 and the wars in the Middle East were carefully planned, attacks carried out by the faction of Zionist neocons and the Israeli Mossad. The policy papers were written by dual citizens with Israel. The equity firms profiting form the Iraq warlike Trireme, Pearl and Kissinger, and the law firms processing contracts like Fife and Zell, Douglas Fife and Mark Zell, an Israeli settler. And the anthrax attack, Dr. Philip Zack, and the anthrax attack speech written by Louis Libby. The PNAC documents, the DPG Libyan Wolfowitz, the lies from journalists, that's Sapphire, Guardian of Zion Award winner, Judith Miller, the love affair with Libby, Russert, Novak, all the Fox, etc., about Iraq's WMDs were all connected back to the same Zionist cabal in the Department of Defense and Office of the Vice President. Just think back to the propaganda about Iraq before the war and then go read what PNAC was writing in the 90s. On top of that, the Niger forgeries, Ledeen, Franklin, Fife, which are clear concrete proof to show that these men were consciously lying, still have not been reported to the mainstream media. There is no surprise that they can't even admit that Israeli has nukes or spies. The Pollard Arch students, AIPAC, ADL, too many to even name. The Niger Gate and the many AIPAC of ATC's dealing with the MIC were covered up by Louis Libby, leaking information about BJA CIA agent Valerie Plame to the press, to exactly the same warmongering trash journalists, Miller, Russert, etc., who had been lying about the WMDs in Iraq. Also, the INC and Chalabi, who served as sources for these yellow journalists, were suggested as replacements to Saddam as far back as the mid-90s by none other than Wolfowitz and Libby. Furthermore, AIPAC, the largest Israeli lobby, was caught red-handed. Rosen and Weissman, spying on the U.S. about Iraq and Iran through moles, Larry Franklin and Gilon, inside the very same offices that were meeting with Israeli generals, Fife and Pearl. Not only was the lobby caught spying, but Zionist lobbyist Jack Abramoff were busted bribing Congress and possibly blackmailing. Then in a story that was pulled from Fox News, there was another separate massive Israeli spy ring that had agents living next door to the said hijackers of 9/11. Israeli art students. And on top of that, the Mossad with its front urban moving systems was busted filming 9/11 and cheering. You remember that, folks? The 9/11 Commission comprised of a PNAC member, John Lehman, Bush's current lawyer, who is also a lawyer for Blackwater Fred Fielding, and Hollinger BOD member with Pearl and Kissinger, James R. Thompson, as well as other dubious characters, did not even address the collapse of Building 7, which the BBC reported fell before it had even fallen. The Department of Defense and the military-industrial complex are not separate. They are one in the same. The 9/11 investigation was a farce. It was on a Scooby-Doo level for a detective story. Oh, look, we magically found a passport of a lead hijacker, the same one who we will later lie about and connect with Saddam by fabricating a story that they met an anonymous Iraqi in Prague. Much of the cover-up, which the MSM just repeated, was done by Popular Mechanics, a magazine whose editor was B. Chertoff, Michael Chertoff's cousin. Michael Chertoff, of course, author of the Patriot Act, quickly became the head of Joe Lieberman and Arlen Specter's new creation, the Department of Homeland Security. Now, note that the Patriot Act was passed while Congress was under duress of anthrax attacks, which turned out to be from Jewish American Zionists in speech that Colin Powell read at the UN. That speech was written by Louis Libby, folks. Were it not for this attack, the Act as well as the Department of Homeland Security may not have passed, at least not so quickly. They already had these documents previously written before 9/11, just waiting for it to happen. Central banks with the MIC are controlling the show right now. They're the current cash cow to feed off the Zionism. The Defense Department is a corporation. One that is missing trillions of dollars and admitted to this day before 9/11, the Secretary for Policy Richard Pearl, Trireme Incorporated, Hollinger and Boeing, the Army Secretary Thomas White Aaron, The Navy Secretary, Gordon England, General Dynamics, the Air Force Secretary, James Roach, Northrop Grumman, all acted in their own personal interest. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I got a heck of a lot more for you. Stick with us. It gets even better, folks. Call your neighbors.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm addressing an article here written by Ryan Dawson. Very, very well-researched article. I give him kudos for this one. 9/11, Iraq, and PNAC. All roads lead to Israel. And I'm going to continue with this because we got a lot to cover. The Office of Special Plans, Douglas Fife and Paul Wolfowitz, were also Northrop Grumman employees. Now, I want you to pay close attention, folks, to how this man ties these dots together here. These same criminals were involved with Hoffman and Britannia Aviation Flight Schools, run by Christian Zionists, where hijackers who were seen in two places at once, that's Mohammed Atta, as well as on Abramoff's casino ships, just so happened to live next door to an uncovered Israeli spy ring. The flight schools were a false trail, easily gobbled up by the left to show incompetence, while at the same reinforcing the idea that there were still Muslim hijackers. The said hijackers myth falls apart when 20% of them still turn up to be alive. I think that percentage is a little bit higher, but we'll go with that. So if there were no hijackers, then the official story is false, and that means the flight school information was disinformation to frame patsies, and given that Israelis live next door with or to these agents who were making as much noise as possible and went as far as leaving behind a list with their names on it to be found, means they were actually Mossad. then Mossad agents get caught on 9/11 and the information connecting them is classified. I see. This is not some Illuminati. It is not the Catholic Church, where there was no missile hitting the Pentagon. It is not Jews in general, or America in general. It is not the government. It is definitely not lasers from space or human morphing lizards. That kind of outright crap is the same kind of discrediting disinfo that was leaked out to mask Area 51, a real, formerly secret military base that spent trillions on new toys for the military but was covered up by nonsense about UFOs and aliens with big eyes that were featured on Unsolved Mysteries and now can be found on T-shirts. 9/11 was a classic false flag operation by a country which can do no wrong in the eyes of the media and would have nothing to fear from the press or an investigation because they have already been getting away with brutal murder for 38 years while sucking billions of dollars from the U.S. the whole time, even after attacking a U.S. ship. And I want to remind you, Phil Turney will be on my show Monday. He was aboard that ship. He's going to tell us about it. Let me continue. Israel was behind 9/11. The war in Iraq, although it overlaps with oil interest and many other things, and they are the driving force behind a war with Iran and Syria. PNAC's Rebuilding America's Defenses, which mentioned the need for a new Pearl Harbor-like attack, was based on the Israel Clean Break papers and written by Louis Libby, again, the lawyer for the Mossad agent Mark Rich. Who's he? Remember that? He was involved with the Iran-Contra and the privatization of Russia, a regular mafia thug who got a pardon from our buddy Bill Clinton. And remember, I told you, Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush are buddies. They vacation together. They party together. They have their arms around each other and play golf together. Also in Iran-Contra was Elliot Abrams, who got a pardon from Bush's father. I see. The players behind what went down are not secret. They do everything openly. It's almost like they want to be caught, as if they are bragging about it. If people can ignore the disinfo and focus on real people, which we have plenty of actual documentation as far to being behind 9/11, and the following wars, then we can expose these crooks and let the consequences fall on them however they may. So who did it? To answer this question, one should first ask, who had the power to cover it up? Who would have the power to censor the media and have total confidence that they could censor the media given an event this size? Well, one look at the non-coverage of Israelis' illegal occupation of Palestine should give you the answer. Nowhere in the U.S. televised media do they even mention that there is an occupation. This massive conflict, which one would assume would be impossible to conceal, is totally shielded from the American public. The occupation is missing from the news, and they purposely paint the distorted picture that Israel just defends itself from crazy suicide bombers. This is not something they can hide or even debate about. The occupation is visible, you can go visit it, and it is widely covered in media outside the United States, but you will never hear Israelis' crimes ever being mentioned. Not in the United States. There is no news of the Jewish-only racial colonies that the U.S. calls settlements and neighborhoods reported on Fox, ABC, NBC, or CBS, which is really one network that tells the same stories often in the same order. Also, there has been no reporting on a second Israeli spy ring. None. Zero. Nada. And the first spy ring uncovered was yanked from Fox News. Even though it's still an open secret to the rest of the world, in the U.S. there has been no mention of Israelis' secretly built nuclear weapons. The list goes on. The faction that has nothing to fear from the U.S. media and who could cover up something as huge as 9/11 or larger are the Zionists of Israel and their allies in the U.S. government and press, who all profit through the military-industrial complex and investments from fringe element religious organizations who are rewarded with airtime. One should also look at the list of congressmen on the AIPAC lobby payroll and then look at the astonishing number who we know had connections, the Zionist lobbyist and criminal Jack Abramoff, who is deeply connected to the Israeli Mossad and 9/11. The second question one should ask is, what did 9/11 serve? The answer to that is very simple. The aftermath of 9/11 led to two different wars. And we all know how 9/11 was falsely attached to the justification for America's wars. Almost 90% of U.S. troops in Iraq think that Saddam had a role in 9/11 and the war is revenge for it. That level of total ignorance is mind-blowing. War is, of course, it's good for select businesses and central banks because they are debt generators. Iraq was not a threat to the U.S. They were a threat to Israel. And the same case can be said about Iran. We know who really wants these wars. All right, folks, we'll be back in three. I've got a heck of a lot more for you. Stick with me. Call your friends, neighbors, and relatives, because this stuff connects some major, major dots. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you, because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm going to continue with an article by Ryan Dawson, 9/11, Iraq, PNAC, and All Roads Lead to Israel. There can be no doubt that the press consciously distorted information leading up to the wars, and that they never made any clear pronouncements about how they had been wrong about their lies, with the weapons of mass destruction myth being a clear, stinging example. There are people in the U.S. who still believe that Iraq had WMDs or that they moved them to Syria. If you want to know who planned 9/11, then a good place to look would be, who do we know that planned and then lied about Iraq? Also, who has been lying the most about Iran? Who championed the disinformation? Where were the lies coming from? And when was the war really planned and where? The answer to all of those questions are sadly the same: Israel and American Zionists. And that is a fact we can prove. If you want to know who the neocons are that orchestrated 9/11, then you should look at some of their other messes. We will start with PNAC and then jump and work backwards from the war in Iraq to 9/11. The myths told by the media prior to the war in Iraq had been written out of the PNAC papers form in the 1990s. The Iraq war was planned long before 9/11. As soon as puppet Bush got into office, his handlers went to work actualizing their long-pushed plans for Iraq. Bush and Blair bombed Baghdad 27 days after Bush was sworn into office. This was well before 9/11 and had nothing to do with stopping terrorism. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Many of us already know who had been calling for war with Iraq and who had written the rhetoric about WMDs, etc. Every pre-war lie was a PNAC talking point. How coincidental. All of it was written in PNAC papers in the 90s by the same authors who peddled their lies to the media during the run-up to the war. These same people made up the Israeli cabal that wrote the IASP's paper, an Israeli group, called the Afghan Vortex, which called for war in Afghanistan as well as the need for a new Pearl Harbor. And by the way, I want to stop right there and remind you folks, I want you to go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. I've posted a video up there from Naomi Wolf. Okay, about the about the comparisons between Hitler's Nazi Germany and the United States today. And also, We Are Change confronts one of those PNAC guys, Norm Podneritz. Go in there and take a look at that as well. Want to know why I drive the point home that the PNAC and the war in Iraq came from the same cabal? Let's just look back at some of their policy papers. These quotes are in their own words from their own website. These authors who wrote Israeli policy papers stating the same things wrote exactly what became the pre-invasion script to Iraq. The PNAC letter to President Clinton in 1998. The policy of containment of Saddam Hussein has been steadily eroding over the past several months. As recent events have demonstrated, we can no longer depend on our partners in the Gulf War Coalition to continue to uphold the sanctions or to punish Saddam when he blocks or evades UN inspections. Our ability to ensure that Saddam Hussein is not producing weapons of mass destruction, therefore, has substantially diminished. Even if full inspections were eventually to resume, which now seems highly unlikely, experience has shown that it is difficult, if not impossible, to monitor Iraq's chemical and biological weapons production. The lengthy period during which the inspectors will have been unable to enter many Iraqi facilities has made it even less likely that they will be able to uncover all of Saddam's secrets. As a result, in the not-too-distant future, we will be unable to determine with any reasonable level of confidence whether Iraq does or does not possess such weapons. Such uncertainty will, by itself, have a seriously destabilizing effect on the entire Middle East. It hardly needs to be added that if Saddam does acquire the capability to deliver weapons of mass destruction, as he is almost certain to do if we continue along our present course, the safety of American troops in the region, of our friends and allies like Israel and the moderate Arab states, and a significant portion of the world's supply of oil will be put at hazard. As you have already rightly declared, Mr. President, the security of the world in the first part of the 21st century will be determined largely by how we handle this threat. That is 1998 by Abrams and Pearl, directed at President Clinton. Is that not verbatim what was used as propaganda in 2002 and 3 for the pretext to invade Iraq? They even used the same catchphrases, weapons of mass destruction and avoiding inspectors, which were lies. However, the Israelis were unable to get their war until they could also attach the myth of Saddam's men meeting with Al-Qaeda. William Safire, who received a Guardian of Zion Award, wrote this up, and then Cheney and Rice repeated it on TV over and over again. Now, here's from the PNAC paper, How to Attack Iraq. CIA Director George Tenet said last January that Iraq already had the technological expertise to produce biological weapons in a matter of weeks, which was a lie. And according to former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter, Saddam seeks only 6 months without inspectors looking over his shoulder to build those weapons and deploy them on missiles capable of reaching Israel and other targets in the Middle East. Yes, Saddam had missiles that could reach Israel, but then Israel also had missiles that could reach Iraq. The inspectors were removed after they were caught doubling as spies for the U.S. Now, again, from the PNAC paper, bombing Iraq isn't enough. Saddam Hussein must go. This imperative may seem too simple for some experts and too daunting for the Clinton administration, but if the United States is committed, as the president said in his State of the Union message, to ensuring that the Iraqi leader never again uses weapons of mass destruction, the only way to achieve that goal is to remove Saddam Hussein and his regime from power. Any policy short of that will fail. Mr. Hussein has obviously thought through this scenario, and he likes his chances. That is why he provoked the present crisis, fully aware that it could lead to American bombing strikes. He has survived them before, and he is confident he can survive them again. They will not succeed in forcing him to abandon his efforts to obtain weapons of mass destruction. The only way to remove the threat of those weapons is to remove him, and that means using air power and ground forces, and finishing the task left undone in 1991. Anyone who cannot see that the Iraq war was carried out and planned by this cabal of dual citizen Israelis must be a fool. They wrote verbatim the pre-war hype 5 years before the war. These same people later faked the evidence and used their moles in the media to repeat the garbage they'd already been writing in the PNAC. However, until born-again Zionist Christian Bush, no one was stupid enough to listen. All these Let's Bomb Iraq papers came from as early as 1998. This one was written on July 30th of 2001, just a month and 12 days before 9/11. It has a big, fat picture of Osama bin Laden on it. They were propping up that patsy early. For bin Laden's sleeper agents already outside of Afghanistan waiting for the right moment to strike an American target, the situation is probably a little better. The lies about Iraq and 9/11 are all inside PNAC papers. The authors are the same people who created and covered up the Niger forgeries. They were involved in an Israeli spy scandal, which still has not seen a trial, and at least two of them, John Lehman and James Thompson, were in the 9/11 Commission, for crying out loud. This same lying Israeli cabal was behind the PNAC papers as well as the lies about Iraq and 9/11 when the Mossad was caught filming the towers and living next door to said hijackers. Over 200 Israeli spies were busted in the largest spy ring ever to be carried out on American soil, and after 9/11, Israel was caught spying on the U.S. again through a Department of Defense employee who worked out of an office that met with Israeli generals and was run by Douglas Feith. Feith is a war profiteer whose company, Feith & Zell, is partners with Israeli settler Mark Zell. This law firm got to delegate reconstruction projects in Iraq. See how these dots all tie together, folks? This one takes the cake, though, because it came from Lewis Libby, who at the time was with Deckert, Price, and Rhodes. Update, Adam Pearl, Price and Rhodes, yes, page 63 and 79, I don't have that available, I'm sorry. Update, Adam Perlman, al-Qaeda spokesman who faked bin Laden tapes, is the grandson of Carl Perlman, who was on the board of directors for the Anti-Defamation League, a Zionist organization with spies in the U.S. who also support apartheid states. For those who need to see the lies about WMD in the mainstream media and neocons repeated over and over, which the PNAC wrote the script for, please watch this video. And I'm going to direct you, when I have some of this stuff, it's going to direct you to places that I don't have available, folks. So when I have Ryan Dawson up, we're going to go back over this and we're going to direct you to those sites so you can watch them for yourself. These lies were told by embedded Zionist journalists who work with the administration's PNAC members. For example, the lie that the lead hijacker in 9/11, Mohammed Atta, met with an Iraqi official in Prague came from William Safire, the New York Times. This lie was repeated by Cheney and members of the OSP. Essentially, this complete lie connected Iraq to the al-Qaeda and 9/11 attacks. It was false, yet all the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, repeated it anyway because it had been in the New York Times. The source for the Times was members of the INC, that's the Iraqi Nation Congress, such as Chalabi, a man convicted of bank fraud and the person who Wolfowitz had suggested should lead the INC back in the 1990s when he wrote to then-President Clinton about regime change. William Safire, who made the bogus report, was awarded the Guardian of Zion Award in 2005 for his defense of Zionism in Israel. What the neocons were doing is planting stories from known false sources on willing journalists and then quoting them as sources for what was in reality their own lies to begin with. The triangle was the OSP told INC what to say, and then the journalists claimed them as sources, and then the Pentagon quoted the journalists. Also working with William Safire at the New York Times was Judith Miller. She made up the lies about aluminum tubes, which physically would not even work anyway, being used as centrifuges in Iraq's alleged nuclear program. She was also the journalist that spread the story about Saddam having weapons of mass destruction hidden under his palaces or in mobile trucks. Lewis Libby, who I will talk about in a bit, also promoted the mobile weapons labs myth, as well as the myth about Iraq's anthrax. It turns out they didn't have any. Libby wrote the anthrax speech that Colin Powell read like a sucker to the UN. Every claim was false. This was also an attempt to link 9/11 to Iraq by claiming that the anthrax attacks that followed 9/11 may have come from Iraq. They did not. They actually came from Dr. Philip Zack, who the FBI has on tape stealing anthrax from a lab in Fort Detrick, Maryland, which he had been fired from on his racist antics to an Egyptian employee who he had tried to frame. Judith Miller, it would be revealed, was also one of the journalists who Libby leaked the name of Valerie Plame to in order to blow the cover of a CIA agent, as well as her entire team, using the front money of BJA. The reason for that, as I will get into later, was the cover up more lies and fabrications about yellow cake uranium coming from Niger, as well as massive profiteering by the ATC and MIC lobby involving all these same players. Some 9/11 films have even been misleading, mentioning PNAC without telling the origins and then dropping some big names like Cheney and Rumsfeld, who actually didn't write one word of any of these PNAC papers. But I will leave that for the disinformation section. Don't get me wrong. Those two guys are the scum of the earth, but let's be clear on who did what. Cheney had a central role in abetting the Mossad by personally having the authority to command NORAD move to his position prior to 9/11 so that he could personally make NORAD stand down and assure that the planes did hit their targets. And yes, a plane did hit the Pentagon. I don't want to argue here about that or get accused of dividing the movement, but you can see that here. This really should not be where our focus is, as we already have much stronger evidence about the WCT towers. There is no motive to use a missile. Why not just drop the plane? And before you say pilots could not make that kind of flight, let me remind you many of the said hijackers were found alive. So that part of the argument is pointless. They never were on those planes. They were flown by remote control via ultra-Zionist Dove S. Zakheim, another PNAC founder. Well, with that, I have to agree, maybe to disagree with you. I don't know that it was a plane, but we'll cover that on the show when I have you up, Ryan, if we even get there. No big deal, though. A lot of people know about PNAC, but very few people have taken a hard look at its origins. PNAC was a spinoff from the American Enterprise Institute, and 100% of the members are Zionists. People have also gotten confused between the actual authors and people who just signed their letters. Rumsfeld, for example, is not part of the special in-group, as its chairman William Kristol revealed. Ironically, on the Colbert Report, PNAC was co-authored by the same people who have been caught lying about Iraq's war pre-invasion intelligence. We are talking about only around 28 people who helped fabricate evidence and pass it off to the president and journalists, and in some cases, fake journalists like Gannon. PNAC's idea and statements stem from Israeli policy papers, and PNAC's papers are compromised by Israeli citizens who are connected to every major Zionist group on earth. In fact, PNAC's papers were written by the very same people who wrote Israeli policy papers and hold dual citizenship with Israel. The war in Iraq and control over energy resources, etc., is all lined out of Israel's A Clean Break, a new strategy for securing the realm, which was written by Richard Perle and Douglas Feith. That is just one of many papers this little blood-for-money cabal cranked out. The IASPs, and that's the Institute for Advanced Strategic and Political Science, also wrote a paper called The Afghan Vortex a year before the invasion. Note also that the U.S. already had ships in place set to invade before 9/11. One principal PNAC author was Paul Wolfowitz. In 1992, Paul Wolfowitz wrote the Defense Planning Guidance with his former student, Louis Libby. Boy, Libby keeps popping up, doesn't he? Just all over the place. Here's a quote. The foreign strategy of the U.S. must be unapologetic, idealistic, assertive, and well-funded. America must not only be the world's policeman or its sheriff, but must be its beacon and guide our first objective, that is to prevent the reemergence of a new rival. This is a dominant consideration underlying the new regional defense strategy that requires that we endeavor to prevent any hostile power from dominating a region whose resources would, under consolidated control, be sufficient to generate global power. These regions include Western Europe, East Asia, the territory of the former Soviet Union, and Southwest Asia. There are three additional aspects of this objective. First, the U.S. must show the leadership necessary to establish and protect a new order that holds the promise of convincing potential competitors that they need not aspire to a greater role or pursue a more aggressive posture to protect their legitimate interests. Second, in the non-defense areas, we must account sufficiently for the interest of the advanced industrial nations to discourage them from challenging our leadership or seeking to overturn the established political and economic order. Finally, we must maintain the mechanisms for deterring potential competitors from even aspiring to a larger regional or global rule. Paul Wolfowitz, a dual citizen with Israel who has a sister living there, by the way, is now the retired head of the World Bank, appointed by Bush, who formerly the director of policy planning in the Defense Department. Like Perle, he was also a scoop Jackson Democrat and worked for Jackson in the 70s. Paul is CFR, a Bilderberg member, part of the Trilateral Commission, and the American Enterprise Institute, the parent of PNAC. Paul was a principal PNAC author, and he openly admitted in Vanity Fair magazine that they settled on WMDs as the excuse to get a war with Iraq. Here's a quote: "For bureaucratic reasons, we settled on one issue, weapons of mass destruction, because it was the one reason everybody could agree on." May 2003, in Vanity Fair, "We settled on WMDs." Who is we? Could it be the Zionist cabal that had been writing about the desire for a war with Iraq and who set up the OSP? He's also admitting that they were just inventing reasons for war to present it to the public. The weapons of mass destruction claim is important because it was the legal reason for the invasion. If they were compliant with UN Resolution 1441, then the U.S. did not have the grounds to invade. Please go here and listen to my February 10th radio interview, which outlines more background on that as well as the sanctions which helped starve 500,000 people. You can't go there today, folks, because I don't have access to it. But allow the statistics to sink in. We'll get into that later. I'll make a point of that with Ryan tomorrow. Okay, let me make a note of that here. All right, continuing on. Paul Wolfowitz presented an open letter to Bill Clinton on January 26, 1998, where the opening lines cleverly state the desire to go to war with Iraq. Wolfowitz urged Clinton to recognize a provisional Iraqi government headed by an Iraqi National Congress under Chalabi. Does that sound familiar? This would be what would later become PNAC's doctrine in U.S. foreign policy. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I got a whole lot more, so stick with us and call your neighbors.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm going to continue with this article by Ryan Dawson, 9/11, Iraq, PNAC, and all roads lead to Israel. So in 2000, PNAC released what is normally referred to as a document more of you are familiar with, which is commonly mistakenly just called PNAC. And that was PNAC's magnum opus, the paper Rebuilding America's Defenses, Strategies, Forces, and Resources of a New Century. This is the paper stating the infamous lines about the need for a new Pearl Harbor, page 63 or page 51, depending on the PDF you have. The bulk of the document, however, is about going to war with Iraq. It reiterates what this same dirty cabal had written for Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. When Israeli intelligence on Iraq had been rejected by the CIA, Wolfowitz created his own Team B to go over it and work scientifically backwards. That is, start with a conclusion and then set out to prove it by any means possible, including just lying. Now, Wolfowitz did not do this on his own. Louis Libby, Douglas Feith, and Richard Pearl, and others who have recently resigned and or are have been caught up in criminal activity in the past, all took part. Please see the real list of PNAC authors. Okay, well, I don't have that there. I just got to make another note. Let's see. I've just got a note here from my board op saying Scooter Libby's real name is Lieberman or Lieberwitz. Melissa from Austin called in wanting to let you know. Thank you, Melissa from Austin. I appreciate that. Interestingly, Richard Pearl and Wolfowitz both worked as aides to Senator Henry Scoop Jackson. In 1970, while working for Jackson, a Democrat, Pearl was charged with two heinous acts: spying for the state of Israel and leaking information about the CIA in regards to its nuclear deterrent programs to Russia. Now, keep that in mind because it is very important. It's the same things that are happening with AIPAC and the Plaim affair from under Pearl and Feith's offices. Pearl is even part of the tax-exempt Henry Jackson Society. He is a trustee for the UACC, the U.S. Azerbaijan Chamber of Commerce, which worked with Blackwater to get troops into the Azerbaijan using a loophole that they were not troops but, quote, bodyguards. Oh, man, these guys just, I mean, they need to be tar and feathered before they're hung. I mean, it just reeks. It's of evil. Boeing invested $20 million in Trireme, run by Richard Pearl, which was approved by Aldridge on his last day at the Pentagon just before he took a job with Lockheed Martin. And Jeremy Scahill wrote, the contract was approved by President Bush's chief weapons buyer at the Pentagon, Edward C. Pete Aldridge, Jr., who just happened to be a former president of McDonnell Douglas Electronic Systems, which later became part of Boeing. Aldridge approved the deal on his last day at the Pentagon before taking a job with weapons manufacturer Lockheed Martin. The deal would go down as the most significant defense procurement mismanagement in contemporary history. In the words of Senate Armed Services Committee Chair John Warner, resulting in a cancellation of the contract amid widespread allegations of cronyism. Former Air Force procurement officer Darlene Druyan went to prison, as did a Boeing representative, while Air Force Secretary James Roach resigned. Page 317, Blackwater, the rise of the world's most powerful mercenary army. You see how this stuff ties in? We got Blackwater going on right now, and it's getting worse, folks. Pearl is the nastiest of the nasty. In my mind, he is the worst neocon of them all. He has appropriately earned the nickname the Prince of Darkness. Pearl, along with Douglas Feith and David Wormser, all three of them got jobs in the U.S. Defense Department. Pearl and Feith have had to resign, authored the Israel's A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. Okay, well, that's going to wrap up the first hour here. Believe it or not, I'm right on track. I'll be back after this two-minute break, second hour coming up, with a lot more. Call your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Get them on here. This is basically the best account that I have ever seen come up with what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and who did it, folks. And short of a brand-new investigation, it may be the closest we'll ever get. We'll see you in two. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back. I'm not ready to back.